The next bit of evidence that the story has some reality to it was that there was in the antagonist to King Gilgamesh is a extraterrestrial princess called Ishtar. She's one of the most famous feminine fatales in literature that I've ever come across.
All human or a hybrid?
No, she's pure. Pure Anunnaki. Pure Anunnaki. And she has this space helmet called Shugaru, which means goes far in the universe in Sumerian. And there's a statue found of her. A life-size statue was found in Mari, Syria in 1910.
Was she a giant or just normal
size?
Yeah,
she was bigger than the normal. She was over 6 feet tall.
Okay.
The statue is life-size. It's over 6 feet tall. So you got to figure it was somebody made it and left it in this place. And it's now in the museum. So if you want to go see Ishtar, I have some pictures of her in my book.
Okay. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by her character because she epitomizes to me all the wiles of a female. You know,
was she a good person?
Pardon?
Was she a good person?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. I think she was a seductress. She wanted power, personal power, and she eventually gained it by seducing her her relatives.
All right, but she came from the Anunnaki, the planet Nibiru.
Yes.
Okay.
She was direct, 100% extraterrestrial. And they talk, in the story of Gilgamesh, she travels to the mothership where the boss, Anu, which is the head of the Anunnaki, resides in a shuttlecraft. And then she goes around on the land back and forth in what's called a whirlwind, which is, looks just like a helicopter.
Almost like she's the field marshal of the planet.
Well, she resides, her temple is in Europe, the city that King Gilgamesh is the king of. And she is responsible for his activities and for, well, she actually wants to seduce him. There's a whole scene in the sixth tablet where she attempts this, and it erupts into a violent result, which she goes back to her grandfather, who's this, King Anu, and demands the Bull of Heaven. Now, what's the Bull of Heaven? Well, she takes it from him, goes down to the city of Uruk, and starts blasting
a weapon,
foot trenches into the city, killing hundreds of people, getting her revenge.
All right.
Okay, I think it's a laser. You know, when the bull snorts, fire comes out of his nose.
Right, right. Good
so
point.
To me, that's a laser weapon that was probably used to level the landing platform and maybe the base under the pyramid. The base under the pyramid is perfectly level. It had to be done with some kind of an instrument.
Well, and Marshall, the story of Gilgamesh, was it handed down orally, do you think,
yes,
for years and years before it was converted?
Okay. It had to be the kind of thing that they told it over and over and over again before it got written down. It got written down about 5,000-6,000 years ago. But I'm sure it was told, just like Enuma Elish, you know, the seven tablets of creation was orally transmitted before it got put down on the clay tablets. The clay tablets were the beginning of the recorded history of all these events. And we can only assume, like you suggested there, that this story was a lot older than the one that's on the clay tablets. Now, the 11th tablet of this story, to me, is the most significant part of the Epic of Gilgamesh.
All right, what is that?
All right, it tells the story of the Great Flood, and it tells of the secret that was withheld from humans. And the secret was that the Anunnaki leaders were all sworn, when they knew the flood was coming, they figured that out through their science, that nobody would help them survive, that he wanted to get rid of all the humans.
That they made, right?
They made them, yeah. Made them, but Enlil, who was the commander, said there's too much dilution going on with our bloodline, and they're too noisy. He said, when the flood comes, I want them all wiped out. And he made everybody swear that they wouldn't help, all the other leaders.
Did they create the flood, or did they know it was coming?
They knew that their planet was coming back. and their planet is Nibiru, and every 3,600 years, and we have Sitchin to thank for the for the cosmology of this.
Yeah.
That every 3,600 years, it appears between Jupiter and Mars, and its gravitational pull on the planet Earth is humongous because of its size.
There's always a tragedy when it comes by, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Some kind
In fact,
of
the life. Greeks who recorded, they called it a nemesis because it was such a problem. And there were many civilizations that have recorded its passing of the crossing.
All right, so they knew.
They knew that when
there's going to be a flood.
When it came, there was an ice shelf in the Antarctic that had loosened due to the temperature rise in the planet, and it was going to pull that ice shelf off the land into the ocean, cause a tsunami, which would go all the way up the African continent into the Middle East, where their civilization was and all these people, and it was going to kill everything in its path. The tsunami was 1,000 feet high, they calculated.
Oh, it's huge.
Can you imagine that?
That would go inland by hundreds, if not thousands of miles.
Yeah. So instead of a flood of rain, as the Bible story says, this was a tsunami, so that the ark couldn't be anything but a submersible in order to survive. It had to be a submersible design, watertight, so that it could absorb the punch of this wave.
Good point.
And all that's in this tablet, this whole history.
All right, who is Noah?
Okay. Noah was the second-in-command son, Enki's son, in the Bible, and in this story is Noah. And he's the one that builds the ark and is given the instructions. And the way Enki avoids breaking his oath to his leader, he doesn't tell his son directly. He tells the wall of his house. This is what he has to do. Gives him instruction to the wall of the house. And that's, therefore, it's very clever. And this message came to Enki, by the way, from the deity of the extraterrestrials. The extraterrestrials had a deity called the Creator of All. And the Creator of All gave the message to Enki how to save humanity, because he said the destiny of the Anunnaki, the extraterrestrials, was to come to the planet Earth and create humans, and the destiny of humanity was to inherit the Earth.
Well, and do you think they have done this throughout the solar system, maybe the galaxy?
Oh, yeah.
Or are they just one of many?
No, they're one of many, George. I mean, I can't imagine that this is a single event. I mean, we are fortunate that we have this record in the Epic of Gilgamesh of what they did and how they interface. And
it's amazing. And we look like they do.
Yeah, we are them.